gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study your word once again. And Father, as we often pray, we ask that you would open our minds and hearts, help us to hear what you have to say and to receive it. And we pray, Lord, that you would just plant the seeds of life change within us. We thank you for your word that is truth. And as we conclude our Family Matters series, Lord, I pray especially that you would just give us wisdom and insight into how to continue building strong families, especially as we think about the valuable role of grandparents today. So I pray for all grandparents here, for all who have grandparents in their lives, that you would just greatly bless and enrich those relationships. Thank you so much again for what you're going to do in our lives, and so we submit ourselves once again to your Spirit and your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm holding a picture of my grandparents on my father's side. Their names are Esom Frank McKeon and Rose Ella Troutman, and I never really got a chance to get to know either one of them. Unfortunately, my grandfather passed away many decades before I was born, and I met my grandmother one time when I was around 6 or 7 years old, so I didn't really get to know either one of them. I learned stories about them from my father, and then on my mother's side, I never really got to know my grandparents there either. Once again, my grandfather on my mother's side was deceased before I was born, and I met my grandmother on my mother's side one time when I was an infant, so I have no memory of that. So all that to say that I am very underqualified to teach on the subject of grandparents, because I never really had any, at least none that I knew personally. And I'm not a grandparent, so once again, I can't draw on my own life experience. But I have come to see that as my own children are building relationships with their grandparents, I'm so thankful that they have that in their lives. And I so appreciate how they have good quality relationships with their grandparents. And I just know that that's a vital part of family life. And so today I want to talk about grandparents as we conclude our series, Family Matters. I think we're going to do something that maybe is new for all of us, new especially for me. I have never once in my life heard a message on grandparents or grandparenthood. I've never even heard of anybody speaking on the subject, though I'm sure it's been done. But today we're going to cover this subject because I just couldn't imagine having a series on family life without talking about the valuable contribution that grandparents are making. They are such an important part of creating stability and transferring wisdom and helping build families that honor God. So to do that, I want to first of all just make an obvious observation, and it's this. The scripture says that grandchildren are a gift from God, and every grandparent knows that. Grandchildren are a gift from God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, for example, and there the word of God says, "Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children." Now, that's an interesting little phrase there, children's children. The reason why it's like that in English is because biblical Hebrew actually has no word for grandchildren, but this conveys the thought. Literally, it's children of children. So this is referring to someone's grandchildren, and they are a crown to the aged. I love that phrase. When you think about what a crown would symbolize or what it would represent, we know it in every culture as a symbol of honor, a symbol of favor, and I think that's exactly what Solomon intends for us to understand, that for grandparents, their grandchildren are essentially a crown to their life, a sign of God's favor, his blessing, and honor in their lives. And so grandchildren are a crown to the aged. I think one of the reasons why they're considered a blessing is because throughout the scripture, length of life, living to an old age, is considered a gift from God, a blessing from God, that you could live long enough to see future generations in your family line, your own children's children. So, just to start out with a fundamental observation, grandchildren are indeed a gift from God. You've heard the old saying, grandchildren are your reward for not killing your kids. That sounds a little rough. Maybe we could say a little more gently. Grandchildren are your reward for putting up with your kids. But I like the way Solomon says it best. Children's children are a crown to the aged. They're a gift from God. And parents are the pride of their children. That just recognizes the fact that in most cultures, and I think this was true in our own family lives, when we were little kids, we looked up to our parents. We aspired to be just like them, to walk in their footsteps, and we were proud of them. And so this just reminds us again of the quality relationships that ought to mark families of faith. I did some research on the important value and role that grandparents are making in our society, and I just want to share with you a few trends and statistics about what grandparents are and do, and I learned several key things about grandparents today in America. For one thing, grandparents represent one-third of the total population. One-third of the population in the United States are grandparents. That seems pretty high to me. That's a large group. That's a big part of society. 72% think being a grandparent is the most important and satisfying part of life. And you know what? When I see grandparents in action, I see that. I see how much they enjoy it, how much they're fulfilled, how satisfied they are in that role. 63% say they can do a better job caring for grandchildren than they did with their own children. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that by the time you become a grandparent, you've learned a lot more about life, you've figured out some things, and you now realize what you can do to help grandchildren perhaps succeed better. I think most grandparents have come to realize that life is not really about building your career, accumulating possessions, and all the things that sometimes trip us up in life. It's about relationships. And so they're perhaps better equipped to invest in future generations because they have realized this over their lifespan. 68% of grandparents think that that brings them closer to their adult children, that simply being a grandparent helps them grow closer to their own adult children. I like this statistic. 90% of grandparents enjoy talking about their grandkids to just about everyone. When you get a grandparent talking about their grandchildren, it's just a fun conversation. Grandparents control 75% of the wealth in this country. Grandparents control 75% of the wealth in this country. Translation, be good to your grandparents. Grandparents are very generous. According to these statistics, they give 45% of the nation's contributions to nonprofit organizations. Grandparents give 45%, almost half, of all contributions to all nonprofits in the United States. Grandparents are generous, and they're generous with their grandkids. One statistic said that they spend about $52 billion every year on their grandkids alone. They're living up to their job of spoiling their grandchildren. 60% live close to their grandchildren. 46% wish they could live even closer, maybe even in your basement. I don't know. They want to be close to you. They want to be close to their grandkids. 72% take care of their grandchildren on a regular basis. That was surprising to me. 72%, almost 3 out of 4 grandparents, is regularly helping care for their grandchildren. Things like daycare, picking kids up from school, probably watching them on evenings and weekends to free up time for parents. It's such a common issue, and sometimes I think some parents can take advantage of that situation, that somebody actually has coined a phrase, a term for this, is called grandsploitation. Grandsploitation. That's exploitation of grandparents. I have a solution to that problem. I'm recommending, and I will represent you in this, I am recommending that all grandparents in High Point unionize. Let's form a grandparent union and picket your kids. We're going to demand better pay, better time off, better benefits. Who's with me? We've got to end this tyranny of grandsploitation. Now, there was one troubling statistic in the whole group, and it's this final one. 13% of grandparents are the primary caregivers for their grandkids. 13% of grandparents are the primary caregivers for their grandkids. In other words, that's how many grandparents are having to make up the difference for what mom and dad are not doing. And you can tell there's got to be a lot of tragedy behind that. All that to say, grandparents are doing a great job, and we need you to do more of it because you play such an enormous and vital role in society and in the family, and the statistics show that, and Scripture affirms that. And so I want to talk about how grandparents ought to leave a legacy. See, one of the great things about being a grandparent, as I understand it, is that you're in a unique position, having lived, you know, a good while and having learned a lot of wisdom over life. You're in a great position to sort of step back now and look at your family life from the big picture, to see what kinds of choices you want to make to help shape the vision and the values of that family, to see what you can do to help future generations really become who they ought to be so that you can leave a legacy that outlives you and shapes the future. And I'm just going to give you 3 recommendations from Scripture today about how to leave a legacy. These are 3 things that I think would make a difference. And we'll find them in the scripture. Now, the first one comes from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. So I'm going to turn there. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. And there Solomon says, a good man or woman leaves an inheritance for his or her children's children. But a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance for his grandchildren, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Solomon is very practical about this, simply to say that, you know, as you build your career, as you build your investments, as you accumulate wealth over a lifetime, one of the things that wise grandparents do, and here's the first thing, is to give their children and their grandchildren opportunities for the future. In other words, help them build a bright future. And that's one simple way that it can be done. Passing on an inheritance, allowing grandchildren to have opportunities and advantages in life maybe that you didn't have. Now, of course, in a society like what Solomon comes from, where there's no Social Security, where there's no IRAs or 401ks, oftentimes wealth was accumulated through a lifetime and passed on from generation to generation as part of the security and stability of that family line. So it was important to transfer that down the lineage for the sake of the whole family. So you can see the necessity of it there. But I think in our day and age, it's still helpful and still relevant because we can give our grandchildren a brighter future because of the work that we've done over the course of our lifetime. I think that's something worth doing. And I've known grandparents who are doing this in many different ways. I've known grandparents who have set aside money to help their grandchildren when it's time for them to go to college, to invest in their future, to help them have a brighter future. I've known of others who have given them properties or other advantages later in life that they wouldn't have on their own, and those things are so helpful and so appreciated by future generations. That's just one simple way, but of course, life isn't just about money by no means. Money is just one aspect. There are other ways in which you can help build a bright future for your grandchildren. And let's talk about another way. Another thing that I think every grandparent ought to do is to pass on a special blessing to their grandchildren. This is one of the dynamics in the scripture that I absolutely love. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, to chapter 48, and we're going to see an example of how one grandfather passed on a special blessing to his grandsons. As you turn there, let me just give you a little bit of context. One of the things that I love about the stories of the patriarchs, that's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and sometimes Joseph is included in that list. One of the things I love about these stories is that you see, as they grow older and as they come to sort of the end of their life journey, at just the right time, they gather their family around and they pass on a blessing to each child, and in this case, we're going to see to two grandsons. And many times that blessing fits the person's character and personality. Sometimes it's a warning to change some things, but nonetheless, it's considered significant and important in that culture. And so I just want to read to you some words from Genesis 48 during a time when Jacob was ready to pass on a blessing to his two grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, these are the sons of Joseph, and if you remember the life story of Jacob, there was a very hard time in Jacob's life when his son Joseph was taken from him. I'm not going to retell the whole story, but through tragic events, Jacob essentially lost his son Joseph and thought he was dead. And decades went by. But they were reunited, and as it turns out, Joseph was living in Egypt. He was second in command of the whole country. He now had a wife and kids. And when they were reunited, Jacob is introduced to his grandsons for the first time. And as Jacob is now passing off the scene, he makes it a point to pass on a special blessing to these two boys. They have an Egyptian mother. They're not fully Jewish. And that only amplifies why this is so important. So let's read this then. It comes to the moment where Joseph brings his sons in for this blessing. Verse 15, then Jacob blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Now let's pause there. You can see that the blessing is for the grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim. But I want you to notice here that the first thing, the most important thing that Jacob does is that he acknowledges God is the one who blesses. Jacob doesn't have the power to truly bless them in any meaningful way. God's the one who's got to do it. Jacob is simply as a patriarch, an instrument in God's hands. And he wants these young men to know that it is the God of Israel, the God of his ancestors, his God, that is going to bless them. And that's so important. And then notice the specifics of the blessing. In the middle of verse 16, may they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. I think that is so absolutely important. As part of this special blessing to his grandsons, here's what I think Jacob is doing in that part of the blessing. He's affirming them. He's showing them acceptance. He's approving of them. He's being affectionate to them. And I think that's part of the rich blessing that grandparents can pass on to their grandchildren. You know, many kids grow up, and they have a hard time even with their own parents because they wonder if they're ever truly accepted or approved of by their own parents. But you know what, grandparents? You can be in a significant position to bless your grandchildren by letting them know you are proud that they have your name. You are proud that they are part of your family. That you accept them for who they are, no matter what they do. That you affirm them as your own family. I think that's such an important blessing that's often missing in our society. You can do that. You can carve out some time when the time is right to meet with your grandchild and to let him or her know how much you love them, how you've looked over their lives, how you accept and affirm them, how you want them to know the God that you serve, how you want them to understand they are part of a much larger story. See, Jacob tells these sons, they're part of a story and a covenant that goes all the way back to Abraham, Jacob's grandfather. And they're now included in this. They're part of something much larger than themselves. And then notice the last part of the blessing. This is so cool. And may they increase greatly upon the earth. May they increase greatly upon the earth. You know, in ancient times, every family wanted to have many offspring, bigger, better family, the bigger the better. And this is just a very practical part of that, because this is where family security and strength came from. And so, in other words, Jacob simply prays and asks God in this blessing to prosper his kids, to prosper these young men. May they increase greatly upon the earth. This blessing, if you think about it, is ultimately a prayer and a testimony. A prayer and a testimony. This is Jacob asking God to do these things. That's a prayer. This is him also telling them about what God has done in his life. That's a testimony. And many times I think grandparents can do such a great thing in leaving a legacy to tell their grandkids what they pray for them and what God has done in their own lives. When I think about this, I'm reminded of a great story I heard years ago. When I had just become a Christian, I'd been a believer for maybe 1 or 2 years, and I had the opportunity to read a book on what it means to be a godly man by an author named Steve Farrar, and the book was called Point Man. And having grown up in a home where I didn't have a good example of what it means to be a man or a husband or a father, I just wanted to learn as much as I could to figure this out, and that book was so awesome. It was so helpful. And there was one story that I read in there that just rocked my world. It just grabbed a hold of me, and it was about a man named George McCluskey. Have you ever heard of George McCluskey? I hope after today you never forget George McCluskey. Let me read to you this story out of Point Man. When McCluskey married and started a family, he decided to invest 1 hour a day in prayer because he wanted his kids to follow Christ. After a time, he expanded his prayers to include his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So these are generations he doesn't even have yet. Every day between 11 a.m. and noon, he prayed for the next 3 generations. As the years went by, his 2 daughters committed their lives to Christ and married men who went into full-time ministry. The 2 couples produced 4 girls and 1 boy. Each of the girls married a minister, and the boy became a pastor. The first 2 children born to this generation were both boys. Upon graduation from high school, the 2 cousins chose the same college and became roommates. During their sophomore year, 1 boy decided to go into the ministry. The other didn't. He undoubtedly felt some pressure to continue the family legacy, but he chose instead to pursue his interest in psychology. He earned his doctorate and eventually wrote books for parents that became bestsellers. He started a radio program heard on more than 1,000 stations each day. Can anybody guess who this is? This man's name is James Dobson. Through his prayers, George McCluskey affected far more than one family. He affected your family and mine, if you think about it. Talk about a special blessing. Talk about bold, ridiculous prayers that change lives and generations. All because George McCluskey cared enough about his family to commit the time to ask God to do great things through the generations. Man, that's absolutely incredible. Talk about a special blessing. Well, there's one more thing I want to mention before we close here that I think grandparents ought to pass on to their kids and grandkids. And that's a sincere faith. And to do that, I want us to go to just one simple verse in 2 Timothy. And if you know your Bible, you know exactly what I'm going to talk about. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, this is the Apostle Paul's last letter. We know that he is at the end of his life and ministry. He's going to die soon. And in his final letter, he writes to his closest protege in the ministry, Timothy. Timothy has been like a son in the faith to him. Now, if you know anything about Timothy's life, you know that the book of Acts says that Timothy grew up the son of a Gentile, which implies that his father did not know Christ, did not have faith in the God of Israel, but his mother was Jewish and had come to embrace Jesus as her Savior. And so it's in the midst of that that Paul adds some extra information. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says this. Paul writes to his friend, his son, so to speak, and he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Talk about the impact of a godly grandmother. Talk about the impact of a godly mother. Timothy had a sincere faith because his grandmother had it first and passed it on to her daughter, who passed it on to her son. Man, that's just powerful, I think. We don't know anything else about Lois and Eunice other than that, but that's enough. Now, the key word here, of course, is sincere, and I love it. In Greek, it's the word anupakritos. Anupakritos. If I told you its antonym in Greek, you would immediately know that word. The antonym is hypokritos, which is where we get hypocrisy from. Lois, in other words, had a genuine, sincere faith that had no pretense. She was the real deal. Eunice was the real deal. And Paul says, I know, Timothy, that you too are the real deal. Now, I make that a point for this reason. You cannot give to your children or your grandchildren what you do not possess. You can't give them a sincere faith if you don't have a sincere faith. You can't embed that in their lives if it's not presently true in your own life. And so it begs the question, are you fervently following Christ? Is he the center of your life? Can your children and grandchildren see that you genuinely have a sincere faith? If they see that, there's a much greater chance that that will come into their lives as well. By the way, coming back to the fact that Timothy's dad was not a believer, let me say some things to moms who are currently married to unbelievers or single moms who have no husband to support them whatsoever. I know in dealing with single moms, I know in dealing with women who are married to husbands who don't know Christ or who are checked out in their faith, I know they feel sometimes very alone and isolated and unsure of what's going to happen with their kids. But please pay attention and note the fact that God is bigger than that. In those very same circumstances, God brought a real and living and sincere faith into Timothy's life. And he can do the same for your kids. You just have to keep trusting him and doing your best to live out your own sincere faith. Let me make one final observation. This is just a side note about grandparenting. Let me say this about God. God has no grandchildren. You ever think about that? God has no grandchildren. He only has children. What do I mean by that? You cannot have an indirect or secondhand relationship to God. If you're a young person here and you grew up in a Christian home, that doesn't make you a Christian. You cannot have a faith that goes through your parents. You can't have a secondhand relationship with God. He has no grandchildren. You have to have a personal, living, sincere faith of your own. You have to make the choice to follow Christ with your life. No matter what your parents or grandparents have done for you, you have to come to the point where you embrace Jesus as your own Savior, because God has no grandkids. He only has children. So, are you a son or daughter of God today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You cannot be a son or daughter of God unless you embrace the Son of God, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose from the dead to give you new life so that you could become born again. If you do that, you will live forever. Well, as we conclude this message here on grandparenting, I just want to tell you my favorite story about grandparents. I heard it some years ago. The story goes like this. There was a retired man living in Miami with his wife, and about 2 or 3 days before Christmas, he calls his son up in New York, and he says, "Son, I hate to break this bad news to you so close to Christmas, but there's no way to get around it. Your mother and I are getting a divorce. 45 years of misery is enough. Please call your sister in Chicago and tell her the bad news. I don't have the heart to do it. Click." So the son is shocked. He is stunned. He can't believe it. And he picks up the phone and he calls his sister and he tells her everything. And the sister is shocked and upset. And she says, "Oh no, they're not going to divorce. You make travel arrangements. We're going down there. I'm going to call him right now. We're going to put a stop to this." Click. She gets on the phone with her dad. And she says, "I just heard this terrible news from my brother. You are not getting divorced. You need to understand this right now. My brother and I, we're making travel arrangements. We're bringing our families down there. Don't do anything until we arrive. Do you understand me?" "Okay." Click. The old man puts the phone down. He looks up at his wife and he smiles. And he says, "Honey, the kids are coming for Christmas and they're even paying their own way." You got to watch those grandparents. They can be really crafty at times. But you know what? I love that story for this reason. It reminds me of how precious time with grandparents really is. It reminds me of the fact that as long as you have them in your life, then make the most of the time that you have with them. Because I've never met a grandparent in my life who wouldn't do anything they possibly could for their kids and grandkids. So while there's still time, enjoy them to the fullest. And grandparents, you're doing an incredible job, and we need you now, it seems, more than ever. So keep up the good job. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again that you are a father that we can call on by that title with that intimacy, because your Son, Jesus Christ, came to this world to bring us into a relationship with you. Thank you so much that you have made us sons and daughters of God by faith in him. And we thank you so much, Lord, for family. As we look back on this whole Family Matters series, we're so grateful that you created such a wonderful thing as the family, that you dreamed up marriage and you've blessed it, that you've created pleasure for couples to enjoy and share and to bring forth as a result children in this world, Lord. So we thank you for the gift of children and for the opportunity to be parents, as good and as hard as that can be at times. And we pray, Father, that you would protect our marriages from divorce. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us the strength to finish well and to be grandparents one day that please you and honor you. So we thank you for the grandparents in our midst and in this community and the ones that we're all connected to. And we just pray, Father, we might learn from them as much as we can while there is still time. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name that we are part of the family of God by virtue of faith in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.